Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Young Minds Podcast. This episode, we had on a guest, a very special guest, Elisa Marie Tarsi. I hope I said the last name right. I'm pretty sure it's exactly how you say it. She is one of the owners of this beautiful gym, Outlift Athletics. She's also a killer beast in the gym. Overall, the conversation was based on fitness, on
entrepreneurship,
yes.
Women coming up in the workplace and entrepreneurship
as owners,
well.
Yep. Yeah. Very good discussion. Just talked about her whole come up to where she is now, you know, owning Outlift Athletics.
Yeah, basically all of the her trials, all of her errors, all of the successes, and how they've shaped her as a person. Things that she's gone through in the past. We actually hit a little emotional dip at the end, which was great. It was a nice little way to kind of get to connect with Lisa and see what's going on in her psyche and how she's become who she is. And I think it gives you real insight into what it takes to become successful and what it takes to get over any hardships that you find in your life. We break down insecurity and how you could get over things like that, how you feel maybe looking at other people on social media and comparing yourself, and maybe reasons or motivations for doing certain things that maybe were wrong. Some things that you maybe feel you're doing it for the right reason, and we kind of break that down as well. Many different topics here. She kind of runs with the ball here, and she takes the mic, which is really nice. Left us back. We were just chilling back.
Yeah, I haven't done this little really talking nice. In a while.
Yeah, for real. She's usually trying to fight for the mic space. Now just let her run with it. So honestly, really nothing more to say, man. We gotta listen to this. It's a really, really good episode. So you'll learn a lot, especially ladies out there. You guys will feel a nice little empowered boost to energy. And we also disprove that lifting weights will make you big and bulky, because it's probably not going to. And if you can get bulky from doing very little volume, then please share your secret with us. But other than that, sit back, relax, and enjoy the intro.
Here we
and
go.
And then enjoy the show.
Hey, Frank, what exactly does it mean to be growth-minded?
Well, Justin, I'm glad you asked. It's a state of mind where you realize you don't know everything, but are open and willing to learn more in order to achieve more. And how does one know where to learn these things? What if it's false information? Well, bud, that's why you listen to the Young Minds podcast, where they tackle the most up-to-date and relevant topics with unfiltered discussion aimed at optimizing this video game that we call life.
Wow, I'm excited. I think I'm going to go ahead and leave a 5-star review on Apple, iTunes, and Facebook.
I don't want to shit on it and ruin it. I was like, maybe we could add something at the end. I don't.
Hold it in. You made it. You made it.
I literally just held my breath that entire time.
I was like, what's happening?
Is my face all red?
No, you're good, man.
You're good. That's so funny.
It's your winter tan.
Ooh, I'm sweating.
Already?
Yeah. Well, you got a big ass sweatshirt on.
Yeah, and that's easy
barely
part.
On.
I could just do this.
Oh, there you go. There's that.
It's like a blanket. Yeah,
okay, so much for that.
Don't worry.
I wanted to start with one question, very important. I was thinking about this. How was your St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah. Okay. I figured we were going to talk about this.
Did you?
I kind of did, because I was like dead. I was dead in the beginning of the week. Yeah. We had a great, great, awesome St. Patty's Day.
It looked like a blast on the Insta stories.
Yeah. St. Patty's Day is like my thing. I'm Irish, Polish, and
Mike was telling me that every St. Patrick's Day you love to go hard.
I just find the holiday like it's always just like a fun, happy holiday.
So are you so, Irish?
Yeah, I'm Irish, Polish. A little bit Italian in there. But had fun. We had some beers. We went to the Rocky Point Parade, if you're from Long Island. And then we went back to his sister's house. And, we were just hanging out. And Mike's cousin, my boyfriend Mike, his cousin, out of nowhere, flipped me over his shoulder. And, we had some beers. So my reaction time was a little bit slow. So I didn't put my hands down. And I just slid.
On your face.
On my face. And I had no idea what happened, and my reaction to that was pretty funny, I think, because, and that's, of course, Mike, instead of, oh my god, my girlfriend, are you okay? He's like, oh my god, filming it, putting on his
great.
No, but I'm glad he got it, because it was funny, but.
So we sit across the hallway from each other, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, when I came in, I was like, oh, so I saw you had fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then, sitting across the hallway, that day, after St. Patrick's Day, whenever, what was it, Monday? Or Tuesday?
So Monday, yeah.
there must have been like 50 people come in and go, oh, Lisa, yeah. I saw you had fun. You just have to like fake the smile every time. Like, oh, yep, I did.
I know.
But it's like over and over again, people came in. I was cracking up laughing.
Yeah. At first, I was like trying to like, you know, yeah, like explain the situation. And then the 50th person, I was like,
I was fucked up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like shit. And that's that. So, yeah, it definitely got a little bit repetitive, but, you know, we all had a good time. You know, it happens to the best of us, so.
Can't live it down.
But that drinking, that's very rare for you because you are a business owner,
mm-hmm.
right, for a very, very successful gym so far. Only been open a year, right?
Yeah, a little over a year.
Yeah. You are a dance teacher?
I teach dance.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I want you to take the mic now and just explain where, how you started, I guess, right? Okay. Where you started from, how you got to this position now.
Okay.
Who is little Elisa?
Yeah. I mean, I could go on forever. I mean, that could take, this whole entire podcast.
We have hours.
I mean, I'll start, you know, with my dance background then. So I grew up dancing. I started when I was like, two or three years old. And
oh, wow.
That kind of just stuck.
That's I feel like
I was still shitting my diaper and just eating Cheerios.
You learn how to... When I learned how to walk, I learned how to dance, too. And I feel like every little girl was, like, put into dance class. And, you know, you take to it or you don't. It's something that I just really found comfortable with and I found a home in. It was a way of expressing myself, especially being, like, a quieter kid. School was never, like, my thing. I was never, like, really good at school. I really had to work hard at it. And dance was my outlet for sure because it was something that, again, that I knew was right, felt right.
Now, were you doing like outside competitions or is all?
Yeah, so I did dance competitions. And then, you know, from there, after high school, I went out to college. I went to Iona College and danced there, captain of that team. And then I ended up coaching them for a year. And then after that year happened, that's when we decided to open the gym. It was March of 17, so almost a little over 2 years ago, I had come home from, there were the MAC tournaments. It's actually they have the March Madness going on right now. It was like 2 a.m. and then Mike was like, let's just do this. Let's open a gym. And I said, okay. And then I had to quit a lot of the things that I was doing for
now,
this.
What were you going to college for? Was it dance related?
Yeah. So I minored in dance and then I ended up majoring in public relations.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of, public relations is, you could compare it to marketing. It's just to show your business in a good light. So I could definitely carry that major into, you know, what I'm doing now for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. So you're now a personal trainer as well. Mm-hmm. So was it the gym ownership that caused you to be a trainer, or was it that you always had an interest in training prior to that?
So when I was in college, I got certified. So I was 19 years old when I got mm-hmm. certified, and then from there I just did personal training. So I've been personal training since then and teaching dance since then. After college, I did a bunch of internships. I did the office jobs. They were great
jobs.
Opportunities, and I learned a lot, and then I learned that it is not me to just sit in an office for working for someone else and working for the bigger man. And I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. And I was still personal training on the side, still teaching dance on the side. So I was always doing those things that I loved. I think it's always important to keep your passions in your life.
Now, were you into lifting at that mm-hmm. time? Because the Elisa I know is mm-hmm. like – one of the strongest people, one of the strongest women in the gym right now.
I was,
and it's incredible to watch you lift.
Thank you.
So, when did that start, or when mm-hmm. did you?
It was just, I think it's just over time you really learn. I think we all kind of experience that in the fitness industry, and definitely started more with just bodybuilding and doing like total body workouts and just seeing what the gym was about. And then I ended up doing bodybuilding shows. I did 3 shows. I ended up doing really well.
Oh, you did
I
did a show.
I did. Yeah, I used to compete. Yeah, yeah.
How was that?
Oh, really? To show you guys some pictures of that, I look like a different person. I was like all sucked in. It's crazy.
Vacuum sealed.
Yeah.
So you did 3 shows.
I did 3 shows
in the span of how mm-hmm. long?
It was like a year and a half, I guess. Like 1 year, and then off season, and then I did two more within the same season. So I did nationals. I did team. It's called Team Universe. Heard of it?
Sounds pretty badass. Sounds like it encompasses the whole universe.
But yeah, it's basically, and if you qualified in nationals, it brought you to Team U. So, or the regionals brought you to nationals. So it was an experience and one that I'll never do again.
So question before that, because I'd like to know, while you were training for these shows, were you still dancing?
I was still teaching, yeah, and I was still taking class. I remember going to, it's called Broadway Dance Center, for any of the dancers out there that are listening. It's a big dance school in the city, so any adult can take it. It's kind of like adult classes.
Like Rockettes,
so
Broadway.
Yeah, but my but they have hip hop, modern, ballet, musical theater, jazz, like everything. So, but my thing is hip hop. So I remember taking class while I was prepping, and I had to leave early. Like my body was not having it. And the thing about prepping was you're on such a deficit, and your energy levels are so low. You forget why you started lifting, you started loving health and fitness to begin with, because it became so not healthy, you know, and you become so obsessed. And it took a while to you know, re-rack my brain on what's healthy again. You know what I mean?
So your motivations to go compete, were they to take your body to the next level, in quotes, or was it to optimize your body because you had some sort of dysmorphia or you felt like dissatisfied with the way that you looked?
I was definitely, like, if you ask anyone that I went to college, high school, that was always, like, the girl that was into health and fitness. So I've always had a passion for this, and I was never, you know, just like any girl, I had insecurities, of course, but I didn't go into this with this insecurity. Otherwise, I didn't go into this wanting to be, you know, looking for something else, you know. I just wanted to see where and what I could do, and when I shredded down, what my body looked like. And then after the fact, I mean, yeah, that kind of turned into, you know, not what I wanted it to be. It wasn't what I expected it. The industry is brutal, you know, because everyone's looking at you and comparing and sizing you up, and no one wants to be your friend. But it was definitely an awesome experience to see what I could do and where my body was at the time.
And I think that's critical as a trainer to kind of go through your through not a mistake, but kind of go down a road that you intended to do because you had goodwill to do it, but then realize that it's not actually what you wanted to do, or it didn't qualify as something that was like a, you know, this is something I can do forever, or this is worth doing. And then you skew away from that, and then you realize and you learn a lot. And then maybe you have clients now, I don't know. Do you have clients now who wish to do that and want to train to do shows? And how do you feel discouraging them or encouraging them?
I mean, I always say, if someone wants to do it, I'll never say don't do it or do it. I think, like I said, it was an awesome experience, but you have to go into it ready and prepared for and what to expect. I've prepped a couple people for them. I don't anymore, or I just don't have clients right now that are interested in it. But I always say, like, you have to go in this, and I'll tell them what to expect as far as what they're going to feel, how they're going to, you know, making sure.
Yeah, at least you have the experience.
You know what I mean? Yeah, because if someone told me that in the beginning, things might have been a little bit different. So I think that was a big part of it. And then
I think it's good to have that experience, though, of what it's like to be at such a low body fat percentage, because a lot of times clients who come in, they'll show you a picture, right, and be like, I want to look like this. And you having that experience could tell them, listen, no, you don't. Like, you don't want that life. The image might be cool, but that life of that, because you could tell them that I've done it three times.
Right.
That is not okay. Like, you're not going to have fun. You're not going to enjoy anything. You're not even going to be able to think straight, you know?
It's true. Absolutely. I think that, like, I did really well in my shows, too. So, don't get me wrong or anything, you know. I did really well. But I, it just wasn't for me. Like I said, the people also, like, didn't really motivate me in that sense. But I think that when people look at pictures of other people that are, you know, super lean, and, you know, I was eating 1,000 calories a day, which is nothing, you know? And when people tell me they're,
for how long? Were you doing like a 3-month prep?
By that point, I mean, that was at the end. So that was like for 2 weeks, maybe. That's a long time on TV. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I couldn't imagine.
So, but again, that took time to get there. So you hear all these fat diets now, and people, like, someone just told me about this.
Oh God.
50, I don't know, this, you eat 500 calories for 3 days and 1,000 the other days, and I'm like, why?
Well, yeah, no shit. You're going to lose weight.
Like, 100%. Yeah, that's what I said. You're going to lose weight.
But you're also going to be extremely unhealthy.
And then you're going to eat again normally, and you're going to get all of it plus some back. So, you know, I think, you know, anyone can realize that, but things like that, you learn, like, you don't want to do that. That's not healthy. You're not going to feel good on that number. And then that's why I always preach, you know, you want to find a balance with your diets. You want to find that happy medium. You don't want to have, like, these, you know, essentially, yeah, you're going to carb cycle if you're, you know, training on off days. Yeah, of course, you can lower your carbs a little bit, but not to an extreme point and extreme levels.
500 calories.
You know?
Jeez.
Yeah. No.
And a lot of people, they're trying to diet to get to a certain goal. You notice, mm-hmm. I mean, you have a lot of clients. They probably think, all right, well, I have to dial down by the time this wedding comes in September, exactly. Right? And you're 3 months out, and they're just trying to get this steady decline in their weight. But you realize that it's a lifestyle, and if they want to sustain this forever, that's not the way to go. To be at a deficit of 500 calories a day is not the way to do it.
Right.
You know, it's a way to cure the lifestyle and make them, you know, resilient throughout life and not have these, like, really short-term goals that end up actually spiraling out of control after. Mm-hmm. And they realize that their hormones get imbalanced and that they're dehydrating themselves. They're malnourishing themselves. They feel like shit.
Right.
And that they're, like, at the finish line, at the end of a marathon where your legs are collapsing. You have these shin splints. It's metaphorically the same thing, right? So you're ending. You made it. Now, all right, what do I do from here? Because I can't sustain this rate of exertion.
Usually grab a box of Oreos, right? And refeed that day.
Exactly.
You're like, after the competition,
you're like, we're good.
Yeah.
What was your go-to? You had a backpack full of stuff?
We had, after Nationals, it was like right outside the city. So it was in Jersey, right outside the city. So we went for pizza, but we were like, we're this close. We have to at least go to the Bronx or something for pizza. So we went out to the Bronx after my show and got this crazy pizza. And even still, like, you know, with once you're eating a couple, you know, more carbs,
just absorb
when you're
it,
that,
right?
Once you're that lean, it was crazy. How veiny. Oh, it was crazy. But I look back at the pictures and it's like, I still didn't think I was lean enough. It's crazy to think that, you know.
Yeah, that's what it does.
But, yeah, that's what it does. And then afterwards, you know, I gained a healthy weight back, but I thought I was so fat, and I obviously wasn't. But now I feel like the best I've ever.
Well, now your Insta bio says thick and strong.
Thick and strong, baby.
Thick and strong. So what does thick and strong mean?
Thick and strong means just healthy and strong, in a sense, to not necessarily focus on the weight, not to necessarily focus on your actual size, but to love whatever size you are, no matter what, and to build strength overall. I think it's important for women to feel strong. I've noticed a lot with my clients, once they get stronger, they notice how good that feels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an important part of training that I tell all my clients is going into training, you want to look in the mirror and say, I love myself. You don't want to go into these sessions thinking, I want to love myself at the end. I look in the mirror and I hate myself. I'm going to do these sessions and then love myself at the end. That's not how this works.
Well, I think there's a certain certain perspective you have to have, right? Like, so saying you see these people sometimes who are like 400 plus and they're like, I love myself, I'm not changing anything, I'm great. Like, that's not the point. Okay. Love yourself as who you are as a person, your personality, your family, everything. Love yourself in that way. But have the knowledge to at least look at yourself and be like, this is unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
But you should still love yourself. If you're a good person, you should still love yourself in that sense and use that to make it look like your body loves itself too.
Right.
You know?
Because what always tends to happen is once you always have those negative thoughts running through your head.
The negative feedback loop.
And you talk about that a lot. Even once you do reach a certain goal, those negative thoughts are still going to be there. So you're going to see yourself. I was just talking to a client, you know, yesterday about this. And I said to her, you know, imagine where you, like, were a year ago, seeing yourself now. You'd be so proud of yourself. And, you know, stop putting yourself down. You know, like, look how far you've come. And even on those negative days, it's when it's really hard to think positive, you have to consciously think positive thoughts. And I can speak from experience with that one because it works. I once heard this expression, you know the expression fake it till you make it?
Yeah.
I live by the expression fake it till you become it. I think it's so important to, even like I said, even if you don't, if you're looking at yourself and you don't actually think or believe in your head that you look beautiful in the mirror, you're just saying it because I told you to or something. Repetition, the more you do it, the more you'll actually believe it. The more you'll actually become that person, you'll become that confident, that strong person that, you know, that these people want and look to be.
No, you're right. It always starts in the mind. Mm-hmm. It always starts with what you think of yourself mm-hmm. or what you think of an event, and then it compiles on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more because when I was 17, I started personal training. Mm-hmm. And then once I was 18, I was able to actually have my own clients. Mm-hmm. And I'm 18 and I'm training 47-year-old men and women mm-hmm. and I'm looking at them like, you know so much more than I do mm-hmm. about life, right? But I do have this one little niche above you, which is I understand physical fitness to my extent. Mm-hmm. At 18 years old, you don't understand fitness. You just don't. You're just out of high school.
Right.
You know, you don't have the confidence. So you have to build it. And that was my motto completely. And I really honed in on that. I was like, you have to fake it until you make it. And I would just reinforce them with these positive anecdotes. And I would sometimes even lie and fabricate how I felt just so that I could illustrate this positive image so that they could try to replicate that as well. And it took so much for me to fake it, but I knew at some point you would actually feel it, and like the positive thoughts mm-hmm. would be real at some point. And within 2 years of training, I was that guy. Right. I turned into that person. You know, you build like wisdom over time.
Right. Like I said, the fake it till you become it part, like even just walking around, you know, like I said, if you don't necessarily think that you might be that smart, knowledgeable, confident person, but act upon that. Be an actor. Pretend like you are. Pretend like you're that person. How would that kind of person act? They'd, you know, have their shoulders back, chest up. They'd open up. You know, they'd sit nice and tall. Things like that. You know, even your body language makes a huge difference. And then eventually, that's something that you just start to sink in and you become that person. With the gym, I can't even explain to you how much that was my motto for the gym. And, being a female in the gym as a owner and a boss, you know, it was hard to at the beginning.
I actually wanted to talk about that because mm-hmm. I know you and I discussed in your office a little bit how that was, exactly what you just said, like you being a female as a boss and some people maybe not taking you serious. Mm-hmm. So explain if you have any stories or anything, or what you feel like at least.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest and open, there'd be times I'd be crying to Mike just out of the frustration of having to constantly prove myself and show that I, just because I'm a woman doesn't mean I don't know about the gym or I'm lesser than the male. But in the beginning, it was hard. The beginning, I was still definitely very insecure. Just as a person, I was still just recovering from mental issues that I was having from, you know, a couple years before that. And I was just going through a lot and I was forced into a situation where I felt uncomfortable. And, you know, I knew this was right and everything else felt right. Like the gym outlift felt awesome and it felt so right. But actually getting into it and being engrossed in it so fast and immediately was a big switch for me because I'm very much an introvert. You know, like I said, I'm quiet. I can be timid, but I had to really come out of my shell, and it took a lot for me to be that person. And like I said, when I speak to a man, sometimes I have to speak to them differently. I have to, again, stand this way, stand taller, open my feet wider. You know, maybe lower my tone of my voice. But if I'm speaking to a woman, you know, it's a little bit different. Oh, I might, you know, lean into them, you know, be more myself. But even women take me differently and don't realize it. They'll just assume, oh,
are there any instances? Are there any instances where you saw that apparent?
I mean, it's just like almost it's almost just every day. Just little things that people do and that don't but they don't realize.
Because I know you and Mike have the desk together.
Yeah, right. Just if people assume that, you know, they'll either always ask for the man, or they'll always assume that I'm not an owner, or not a boss, or I don't know the answers to things. And I think people take advantage of it a little bit too. But I try myself, like I said, to, you know, come across more of that confident boss type of person, because I'm not used to being that person at all. So it was really like that switch was really hard for me. But I definitely feel so much better about things now. And I know what I can do, and I know what people believe in me, and I know we make a really great, awesome team. So I learn a lot from Mike as well. Sometimes it's just hard to explain how it actually is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're two different people. I mean, it's like me and Caitlin. Mm-hmm. Caitlin's quiet. And I'm all over the place.
Exactly.
Right. And so Mike's all over the place, even more so than I am. Mm-hmm. Mike's like over the top. I've never seen anything like Mike. And then you're just like Caitlin, or like you used to be just like Caitlin, because now you're saying you're, you know, a lot more.
Mm-hmm. You can usually see when there's a pair of people who come together, they mesh, right? It's like paint, right? Like which color is more intense will kind of shine through when they're both mixed together. Mm-hmm. And like you'll see some things, like you'll combine attributes over time. I've noticed this with my relationship. It's like you have your strong attributes as an individual, but then when you come together, some of the attributes of both of you, they compete a little bit. And maybe one is stronger than the other, and then you subconsciously start to digress. You pull back a little bit from that one attribute. You say, you know what, that person has a little bit more of that, and I'm going to let them do that. And then you start to just – that goes dormant. And then you almost – feel as if that's how things have to go now. And then your strong points where they're weak, that's where you really start to run with it. And then that team dynamic starts to create this blend of the two people together, and you just have like an all-star team of you two. And I think that also works as well. And if you could own that, I think that might be something that you could use to your advantage. And I feel like you guys have. Mm. So like to be an individual the entire time, that would be impossible to work together, right? So you do have to kind of combine and have that teamwork. So do you feel like it still gets you down at all when you feel like people look at you like, no, she's not the owner, Mike is the owner? Do you feel like that people still look that way?
Not so
at this point? Like even people who know you, like they know your team.
Definitely not at this point anymore. And now I'm a little bit more secure with just, I know what I am and I know what I do and I know that this is what I created also. So the having to prove myself aspect of it isn't quite there as much anymore in a positive way, but it still affects me every day to just have to put on this like cape almost of someone that I'm still trying to get used to, because when it's just a lot different when you're, you know, in this as a woman and as an owner. And people still aren't used to it. People still aren't used to seeing, you know, a young woman as an owner. I think in the gym industry, it's very different too, because, you know, a lot of the time it's male oriented. And I think now it's obviously, you know, more women are starting to lift. And I think that's awesome. And I preach that to no end. But, you know, it's just even just small things, like if, you know, a worker comes in, they'll literally push me out of the conversation to talk to Mike or something like that. And it's hard to, because you can't just be like, hey, talk to me, you know.
I can imagine, because this is your baby too. Mm-hmm. Like, this is you,
right?
You know, you worked from nothing to this,
right,
to get it, and you're just gonna be pushed aside like that,
right?
It's like, what the fuck?
Exactly. So, but it has made me grow as a person tremendously, for sure. And
well, that's the way you have to look at it. Mm-hmm. Nothing but lessons, you know. Nothing but growth from the bad things and the good things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So let's switch gears really quick.
Ooh, go ahead, hit it.
While we're in a gym, and as for training, a common misconception is that women don't like to lift weights because they feel like they're going to get big, bulky, and manly. Mm-hmm. You seem like you're defying that. So
How about you give some advice to the ladies out there who stick to the cardio and abs routine? That seems to be getting
the donkey
them...
kickbacks with a band.
Yeah, yeah, maybe. Yeah. That's like, that's a lot, man. They might get bulky. But yeah,
I
if
think,
you could give us some advice.
Yeah, I think this industry has gotten a little saturated with, you know, fitness experts in a sense. So,
like Justin.
Especially, well, let's, I'm kind of speaking on, you know, like, everyone, you know, all of these girls want these this ass, right? Everyone wants a butt. Everyone wants a booty. So, yeah, I play on that, of course. And I think that's great. I think it's healthy to, you know, want to have some curves and embrace them. But there's certain ways to get there optimally. And I think if, again, I'm just talking on your glutes right now. Your glute is a muscle. So, obviously, if you eat, it's going to get fat. And if you train it and you squat, it's going to grow. Doing like little banded works, I don't really see that being super effective to actually grow a glute, you know, just like your bicep. Add volume to it, it's going to grow. Same with your glutes. But I have dabbled in a little bit of everything. Like I said, I did bodybuilding. I have a dance background. I did powerlifting, and I would still say like my workouts now are like power building, and my goal is still to do a powerlifting meet at some point, maybe.
Which you but, awesome. You would do but really well. Would you squat?
Well, that was like 300, but that was before I broke my foot. So
I spotted you for a couple PRs. Your bench.
Yeah, I think
it was your bench.
My bench and my
and your squat.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
You can't really.
What was it? 300.
Watch that, but.
300 and
my bench was 190, and then
damn,
my deadlift.
Right? Was, your bench is OD.
Yeah, my bench.
That's
my
almost
bench,
that's almost Frank's.
Yeah
that's
bench
like
was,
close to mine.
He's not even kidding.
I don't know why my bench bullshit. Was so strong, but I still have to get back there since after I broke my foot. So it's kind of a little frustrating. So right now I'm kind of dabbling a little bit of everything. So I'm kind of enjoying that ride also. So I'm incorporating a little like the dance stuff, like my stretching and trying new and different things. Like I climbed the rope the other day, which is a huge thing for me because I am terrified of heights. And I will throw in – I'll do like usually a power movement in the beginning of my workout, so either squat, bench, deadlift, and then accessory from there. So like I said, more of like a power building type style. Yeah, lifting weights, like of course you're going to grow muscle. You're not going to get super bulky, though. That's not what's going to happen immediately. If you do, then tell me what you're doing.
Because yeah, right. It's also – give me that secret
it's
sauce.
Like, if we're talking specifically about women, it's really hard to get bulky, like bulky where it's mm-hmm. too much. You just don't have enough testosterone.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Just like Justin.
Yeah. No, seriously. This is a third podcast now we talk about my low testosterone. So this is great. But all seriousness, you can't – like, I mean, look how much you lift. You're not, you don't look like you're roided out of your mind.
No.
You know?
No, I hope I'm yeah, not at all.
And what's cool about that is that you keep training in a way that's going to build up muscle. So if anyone ever thought, oh, okay, this is too much, you made it. Congratulations mm-hmm. to you. You hit that muscle threshold. Like,
right, exactly.
Now do something fun. Now do like, you know, more sport related or function related mm-hmm. things and just enjoy your time in the gym. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the one thing that I hear from women, like, I just don't want to get too bulky. I think that that's a defense mechanism from working hard.
And I guarantee you, they don't love it. If they got it, if they had one day where they could
test drive,
where they could get into a body that has a little bit of muscle, they'd be like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I love this. Because think about what the body is, right? If you're just coming in and you're like, I just want to lose fat. And that's it. Really? Is that what you want to do? Because think of what you would look like if all your fat's gone and you have no muscle. What would you look like? A skeleton, right? What gives you curves? The muscle. Mm-hmm. So it's like you actually want muscle. And they're like, oh, I guess so, but not too much.
Yeah.
It's the
but they slowly wean into it.
Yeah. Once you start to, you build a little bit and you just get like mm-hmm. the endorphin release. That's enough. People are like, oh, wow, I feel so good after this. And
or like
you keep
a nice
doing
little
it.
Pump. You feel the blood rushing. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel
that's
my
so
bicep.
Different. Yeah. It's a body boner.
Right.
You know? You
exactly.
Enjoy that.
Well, that's the thing, too. I think it's, just makes you feel good too. Besides the fact that it's healthy to exercise, and besides the fact that it's helps you aesthetically, it's a therapy, and you go in there and you can feel great and get motivated to just work hard is a great thing to kind of just focus on you and kind of just get out of your zone. And I've never left a workout feeling shittier.
Yeah, you know? No, seriously.
Even on bad days, I think I had great workouts.
Except, I was here one day.
Oh.
When you broke your foot.
We're going to talk. Yeah.
Oh, let's talk about that because that was a hard time.
Yeah, that was a bad thing.
You went from like prime, your prime, breaking PRs, to putting back the barbell and just feet. Pop, pop. Like,
right, yeah. Ooh. So
I was there.
That's how this happened? Okay.
Yeah,
she was doing like a duck waddle. All
right, let's see. So what happened?
I was doing lunges, and then I had to re-rack the bar, but it was racked inside of a bench, so I had to straddle the seat, so my feet were kind of wide, and I was wobbling. So my foot rolled, and at first, it just hurt, and I was like, okay, can't put too much pressure on it. And then once I took my shoe off, it's like the same. It was the same idea like when I fell on my face on St. Patrick's Day. It was like that like shocking, just you want to cry, like, oh my God, like what just happened? But yeah, so I ended up breaking my fifth metatarsal and I sprained my ankle. But I keep saying it, I think it is a blessing in disguise that it happened. I learned a lot breaking my foot. I learned a lot on how to just recover on an injury like that.
So you were out for 2 months or three?
I mean, I wasn't able. It was like 3 months maybe that I was between the crutches and my boot. Being able to fully lift again, like do a full leg day without pain in my foot, December. So December I would mark as like my, all right, I'm ready to go.
Well, how many months was that?
Yeah, what was that?
Oh, so I broke it in July.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so to someone who's a dedicated lifter, that is a heartbreaking experience.
It's almost a life sentence. You're just like, oh my God, how am I going to get over this? Because if you don't have the discipline to try to recover, then you could just keep yourself in that world over time.
And you almost attribute, as you know, people like us who lift all the time, we attribute our lives as, when's my lift today? How good is it going to be? How am I going to feel after? Like, that's my day. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
So not being able to do that for 3 months, that's something, you know, you have to, I guess, find something else to be passionate about or find ways to get in there and do something.
Mm-hmm. I took a lot of time just to, on my recovery, I took a lot of time just focusing on what I can do and research and things like that to make me feel better. And if we're talking about right now, current, my foot is 110%. So I took my time. I didn't push it to any limit. Well, I took it once I started working out, I pushed it.
I was going to say, you were out working out with the boot. Like, you had the boot on and you're doing
I was still working out-ish. I was doing upper body. I was doing what I could. And then along with the rehab and using the sauna and stretching and everything, not babying it, you know? Mm-hmm. It still has to move. That area in the foot gets less blood flow, so sometimes it doesn't heal as properly as it should. So I didn't want that to happen. So I just made sure that I wasn't pushing it too far. Like, once I knew I could, okay, do it without the boot and I could start to maybe squat body weight or just the bar. That's literally what I did. I squatted the bar and then I did 55, 60.
That's very important, you know? Not babying an injury, because most people use that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I can't work out for 3 months. I'll just go, you know, watch my Netflix.
Right.
But it's like, no, you'll actually heal it faster if you do something.
Yeah, and what sucks is I think the medical professionals who tell you to stay away are really the problem. They are the problem. And I think either, one, they're in bed with the PTs, right, so the physical therapists. Mm-hmm. So they say, don't do anything on your own. You don't know. You're not worthy enough of rehabbing your own foot. Mm-hmm. So go to this guy. And they kick back referrals. And I think that there's something to that, because every time people get injuries, and the science is out, I mean, the cat's out of the bag, we know that movement is going to help inflammation. If you sprain something, move it. Don't hyperflex, hyperextend, but move it. Get the blood flowing. Mm-hmm. Blood flow equals nutrient transport. Like, make it happen. But if you don't, if you sit dormant, it's just going to atrophy itself, you know? Okay. And did any doctors tell you not to move it? Or did you even go to doctors after it happened?
Good question.
I know what I'm doing.
Well, I was sitting on that couch when it first happened. I was like, yeah, it's probably just a sprain. I probably don't need to go. And then as like all the members start walking by, they're like, you need to go to the doctor.
It's like this big.
It's like blown up. Yeah, it was enormous. But my what are the foot doctors called?
Podiatrist.
Is that what they're called?
Well, yeah, the orthopedic.
Oh, an orthopedic. Yeah. My orthopedic. Yeah. My orthopedist. He actually was very impressed, I guess, with the way I was healing it. So he was kind of just let me. I went in for my few appointments that I had, and he was like, you're doing a great job recovering this. So he kind of just trusted me, which was really cool to hear from a doctor, I guess. So he didn't actually tell me that I needed to stop doing what I was doing. And have you guys ever broken a foot?
Nope.
Or broken anything?
Yes, yes, yes.
So
broken hearts.
That's
what happens with all that luscious hair.
Bro, gotta love it. I know, I'd hate me too. Yeah.
<I'm> stupid.
Anyway.
But yes, I broke my foot. Trampoline.
A trampoline?
Got double bounced, was up like 15 feet, came right down, snap.
Wow.
Bro, I love that. I used to play a game called Egg Drop where my friends it would be like us four. We would jump.
One person in the middle.
Two, three. And then whoever was off pitch, we would all slam on our ass, and whoever just wasn't would just get catapulted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was me. I was like,
man, I miss that so much.
Yeah.
I used to hit my ass on the floor. That's when I knew I had to start losing weight.
What?
Oh, because my ass would hit the ground. Hell. Like, it would be like,
wow, you have to be really fat to do that.
Yeah, you need to be
really fat to do that.
You have to have a lot of psychological issues with food. Yeah. Man.
But yes, I broke my foot.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So you could kind of feel, I think, I don't know how old you were, but for me at least, you could feel when it's okay and when you can walk on it. So as long as you know your body and
I was just about to say that, because you're in tune with your body.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of it every day. You know what you're doing. You put it through things where it's, you know, isometric. And so you know what's going on.
Exactly.
A lot of people might not.
Exactly. Like when I started to actually lift, I only took things like if I was doing legs, I took things to the point where I felt it. But if it started to hurt, like that pain, like a shooting pain or anything like that, or a really bad ache, then I would stop. I'm like, okay, let me take it down. And then it was...
Sorry, I'm yawning.
That face. I think that was kind of what really helped the process and speed it up, was pushing that extra exercise or that one extra rep that I did, and then finally being able to just be 100% again.
See, that's awesome. That's like a... That's a dream for people, because a lot of people, they get an issue. Like a lot of people that I see that work out and get an injury, they always stick with that injury because they're always so
pushed through.
Yeah. They're like, no pain, no gain. We got to keep this this train going. Got to keep it trucking. And you just, that's not the way to do it. You know, if you do it with a conscious effort. And did you get to work on other parts of your body that you maybe weren't as interested in the past? Because I know right now Jen, she does Olympic lifting, and her forearm, a ligament in her forearm is really, it's just irritated. Mm-hmm. And every time she goes to snatch or she goes into hyperflexion, it hurts really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday we went to the gym and she was like, I can't continue. Like, this sucks. Within 30 minutes, I was like, you just got to start working on something else. Like, let's, you know, allocate resources to something else. Go somewhere else. Don't put your mind so far into this one discipline, because as you do it, you're going to ruin it for yourself, right? So if you're so caught up on one aspect, like, oh, I got to build my butt, got to build my legs, and then like your foot breaks, now what? You know, your upper body's still there. You still have a lot of other parts to your body to focus on. And maybe you could strengthen something like, you know, your core. Mm-hmm. Focus on that. Like, did you focus on anything that's different in your body that you didn't feel, you know, would use your foot? So maybe, hey, this is the time.
Yeah, well, I did Helle Larsen presses. Do you know what those are?
I actually don't.
Those are just bench presses with your feet up. So I did all sorts of variations of those. And then I did a lot of stretching.
That's what I was going to say. I remember you doing a lot of stretching.
I did a lot of stretching. And before I broke my foot, I would stretch. You know, I would stretch for my workouts. I would stretch if I was teaching dance. But I really went in when I broke my
foot. You would bring your book
out
to the floor and read a novel while laying in a split and just like flipping through pages. And I'm like, okay, well, that's cool.
Because you know what? My body also felt so tight when I broke my foot because I wasn't moving as much. I honestly, you people that like sit all the time, you guys got to move. I understand why you hurt all the time. You guys got to get up out of your seats, and if you're in an office job, please.
Do you feel like in here you sit a lot?
I do sit. We have, and it's so funny.
Because Frank and I talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, we work out. We're fitness and health people, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when we come in this office and the studio, and I see you guys there too all day, you know, we sit a lot.
Yeah, and we have a standing desk too. But we're also on our feet a lot during the day. like a lot, you know, where, I mean, I can't even, our hours are over, what, we're doing 12 hours a day over that 16. Now, something yeah. like that. Yeah. So we're on our feet a lot. So when I'm not with clients, sometimes it's nice to sit, but I do get comfortable in those chairs. And I do like even just sitting, you know, getting work done. My body just tenses up, but, anyway, back to my foot real quick. So yeah, I would do that, and I wanted to perfect my headstand. So that's what I did too.
I remember that.
Yeah, yes. That's what I did too. So I just had to be really careful with where I placed my foot. So people were always looking at me like, oh my God.
Ooh, you're good. It's all good.
Okay.
They're durable. Yeah.
Because if I fell out of that the wrong way, I would have, you know. But
right,
that was kind of
right on your foot.
My yeah. incentive to actually do the headstand so that I didn't do that. So yeah, those are kind of the two, that's the one main thing that I really focused on. And I still take that with me now because it felt so good to just stretch and be limber and be mobile. And still at the same time, now I can still lift also. So that was my goal was, okay, now that I can lift again, I don't want to lose all that flexibility that I gained. So I continue to do that now still. So that's definitely something I took from and add to my workouts now.
Yeah, because then you become more well-versed, mm-hmm. you know. Like you can yeah. be so sharp in one discipline, but after a while, not that it gets boring, but then it becomes too valuable. And then if you, God forbid, were to lose that in some accident,
right?
Then now what? You know, and exactly. I feel like being multifaceted is so important. Because mm-hmm. I know when I hyperextended my wrist, I actually had the same issue that Jen has with a ligament. It was on my ulna side. And every time I would push or press anything with some sort of flexion in my wrist, it would kill. Mm-hmm. So I just really dialed in on functional fitness, like band work, things that weren't a lot of load. And I used my core a lot, and I was doing a lot of kind of multi-planar movements. And then from there, the translation into my conventional workouts was just incredible. And I would have never taken out the time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to show, it speaks volumes that like we really need to diversify our fitness regardless of our injury. But the injury is the one hard stop to continuing that pattern, you know, and it allows you to now open up your mind to other things. And I think it's important. Mm-hmm. And I think that should be implemented in more people's workout regimens.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
you know, I find that
just
super important.
People just have to trust the process. If you have an injury, just trust the process of getting back to normal again, because it will happen. The body wants to heal itself. So I think people just get frustrated and want to baby things, but it does get better. So,
yeah. And you 100%. Learn lessons. You learn lessons mm-hmm. about the issue, right? So like mm-hmm. you doing the squats, straddling a bench and it's like don't do that again let's not do that. You learned a lesson and now you have wisdom.
I'm scarred from that right? experience. Yeah.
Now you said a little bit before about opening a gym and what that's like, but we never went deep into that. So mm-hmm. what is starting a business like? How did it start? Was it just overnight, just hey, let's start a gym?
Well, like I said, it kind of was just that one night. That's what kind of just like someone had to just say it, and Mike was just like, okay, let's open a gym.
So, why did you want to start a gym?
Why?
Yeah.
Because it was kind of just the next step. Even as a kid, I had never seen myself in an office. I always seen myself doing something a little bit different and out of the box of things, whether that was in dance, like opening a dance studio, having a gym, something like that. I never really saw myself working for someone in that sense. And before the gym, I was just trying to find myself and what the hell I wanted to do. In the back of my head, you know, my mom, like, salary, benefits, you know,
live a 401k.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but that just didn't seem like, so I was going on all these interviews and all that, and it just wasn't working out. So it took Mike just saying, all right, I think we should just do this. And I said, okay. And then from there, I quit my coaching job. I quit a couple teaching gigs. And from there, we kind of just took off. We hit so many crazy obstacles in the beginning. I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know how much time we have. Yeah.
No, go. I mean, whatever you think is important.
But, I mean, from the name of the gym, from the location of the gym, to all sorts of scenarios that we encountered, you know, there was a period where the gym closed. We had opened in, you know, it had like a soft opening, and in September of 2017. And then we were open for 2 weeks. We had members and everything. And the town of Brookhaven came in and closed us down. And that was the worst 3 months of our life. You know, you thought maybe, oh, a week or so, and you don't know what's going to happen. Like, we thought we were going to lose everything. You kind of like start to lose hope. But it was that resilience that we had that kept us going. And I think it's those lessons that you learn that kind of make the difference between someone that's going to make it and someone that won't, is that resilience and that persistence that you have, that and that belief that you have and the passion that you have for what you have to offer. Because like I said, Atlift felt so right. It felt like it was going to be something. And we couldn't give that up. Between the two of us, it was hard those 3 months because, like I said, it was depressing. We couldn't even be in here technically. We couldn't. It was hard to work. We couldn't even work technically out of here. So, and that was our living. That was the only way we were going to make any money, was personal training. So, you know, between the two of us, one of us, you know, was always, if one of us was upset, you know, the one had to be the motivation and vice versa. So on our relationship too, you know, it takes a toll. But you know, between us, we learn how to work together. And even last night, we were in the hot tub and saying how we were like having like a little meeting. Like, oh, this is like a perfect time to have a meeting in the hot tub Friday nights. Like, let's do it. So things like that can help our business grow. Just coming up with different ways to work together and to make everything work smooth, you know.
So I was going to ask you, and you kind of hit on it a little bit at the end. Going into business with your partner, do you feel as if it has strengthened you guys as a relationship, as a duo? Or do you feel like it has its times where it's really tough? And do you feel like you can separate business from your relationship in your process? You know, like where you know this is him feeling his feelings towards me and me feeling my feelings towards him personally. And then there's the stress of the gym. Does it taint the flavor a little bit?
I like your little analogies.
I'm trying.
Good analogies. I wish I had analogies like that. The gym definitely took a toll on our relationship, positively and negatively. Obviously, with the negative, we talk about it and you just try to grow and work on things. But from the very beginning, it took a toll. Earlier, in the beginning with the gym, I was still mentally going through a lot. I was not in like a good place. So that initial start off was kind of rocky and rough, but he was always there for me. And then things got better. And like I said, I have fake it till you become it. I became that more of a confident person and just better overall. And you know, just every day is like a different struggle, a different problem. How are we both going to work on this? Who's going to do what today? And things like that. And, you know, we both handle things very differently. And it's in the beginning, even now, because we're working so much, we can finally have Sundays off now. It's hard to find time together because by the time we get home, we're exhausted. So we still will try to like, you know, watch a show, watch a movie, even if it's 20 minutes and 10 minutes before I pass out because I always fall asleep early, just to get some time together. But it is hard to get time, but you have to know that you're in this together and we are a good team. And because we are kind of like that yin and yang, we mesh really well. And he's definitely better at the communication thing. I've always been, like I said, I'm an introvert, so I've always just held everything in. So talking things out and making sure we're both on the same page with things, because we work together, we see each other all the time, and we need to make sure we know what's in each other's heads and what we're going through. And if I'm having a bad day, this is why, just so you know, type thing. If you see me in the office, like, you know, otherwise you might take that wrong. Super and then important. You take that home and it's a cycle. Mm-hmm. But I think keeping everything in a relationship open and honest and fresh is the most important thing, because we do still find time for each other, even with the crazy schedule that we have. Like I said, even if it's just a few minutes at night that we have together, I think it's so important. And that goes for anyone's relationship, you know. I think a lot of people lack that aspect of it, as far as, you know, finding time to really sit down with each other and appreciate each other. Yeah. But yeah, we've had our struggles, to answer your question. We've had our struggles, but it works really well. We're a good team.
Yeah, no, I can see that. It definitely shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from an outside's perspective, I mean, you've done a beautiful place of marketing this gym and making it a home for mm-hmm. all the members here. Mm-hmm. 100%. I mean, it's not just me saying it. I hear members tell me this.
It's awesome.
So, and it all stems down from the owners, you know, two people who own it. Mm-hmm. They're the reason why the community feels this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we were going to go into this, we were going to put, you know, 200% heart and soul into it, you know. We did have smaller dreams in the beginning. We had a smaller building.
Like just to train out of?
Just, like, yeah, like almost like a training studio. And yeah. then the way things kind of took, and honestly, it was kind of like those obstacles that I was saying, where we had a location, and then that bailed out. And then this one came up, and it was an absolute shithole. And we were like, fuck, like, what are we going to do? Like, this, you know, it's going to take that much more money, that much more capital to start the business. So just a ton of stress, but it turned out almost exactly how we had envisioned it, you know? And I think that's important for people to remember if you do have, like, your own business or anything, to put who you are into it. And I think that's the biggest compliment that we get about this gym is the environment and that it feels like a home and people enjoy coming here and they want to, like, be here and talk to people. And it's the community and the environment and the vibe of the gym that you get when you come into Outlift that I think people really like. And you come in here, you can have someone lifting 700 pounds in the back, but they could still have a conversation with you about, you know, your dog or something. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. So I think it's a really cool environment that we created. You get a lot of motivation from here. You get sick workouts because our machines are top of the line and they have the really great range of motion and the levers on them are great. So come on down. That's your plug for Outlift.
Yeah, right. Hell yeah.
So I want to leave off on something positive here. If you could give the younger women, mm-hmm. Our audience members, one piece of advice going into the world today with all the social media pressure and all the influences that they have and body image potential issues and things that they may be insecure about, is there anything that you could tell them to kind of look through and look at themselves and peer into themselves? Because you said you went through hard times, and I don't know exactly what those are, but I would like to. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to at least give the psychological fight that you had to give, and try to give some sort of detail on how people could fight through maybe their insecurities, traumas, mm-hmm. things that have happened in their past, how to get over those, mm-hmm. how to look into the future, and then plan your life and not take that out on other people, and to not be the victim of any traumas that have happened or mm-hmm. be a victim of your 100%. Insecurities, things like that.
Because one of the biggest feedbacks we get is when someone tells a story of that, because everyone, every single person, I don't care who you are, there's no perfect human. Mm-hmm. You haven't had a life of just perfection. Everyone's been through something. Mm-hmm. Some bigger than others, but it's all affected us emotionally in the same way. Mm-hmm. So anytime we tell a story, like, it really hits home with the listeners and they really get to connect and say, wow, okay, someone out there has been through something just like me. And mm-hmm. it's warming, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I could try to talk about this without getting emotional, but about, you know, it was about 3 years ago, my dad died. And then, sorry.
Oh. I didn't. You don't have to go into it.
No, it's fine because it's good to talk about, you mm-hmm. know. And two of my best friends died within 3 months of each other, okay. So I was going through a lot, mentally, and that was like right after my show too. So how I was saying, I had a lot of like insecurities with like gaining weight again, and
I could only imagine all that.
On top of that, you know, I had these three people in my life die suddenly. Like, it was a lot on me, and it was hard to get through. And all I can say about, if you're going through any sort of trauma or, you know, a death or dealing with anything like that, I think it's important to be around people you love and to still do the things you love, because at the end of the day, that is what you have, and that's what's going to make you happy. And I think it's important to keep that in your life no matter what. And with any insecurities that you have, it's just not, it's easier said than done, but it's not worth it. It's not worth to have these hateful thoughts in your head about yourself and things like that when, you know, it could be gone in a second, you know? So I think the main thing to take from, you know, if I'm speaking to anyone or, you know, these young women out there, I think it's important to live your life through a passion and to do the things you love and don't forget where you came from. Don't forget who you are, because in the social media world, it's really easy to get wrapped up in what's hot, what's the look and things like that. And I think it's important to stay true to who you are and what you love to do. And just stay healthy and, you know, mentally, if you're going through stuff, find that one thing that you do love. And if you don't know what it is already, because it could save you. Mm-hmm. I could save you, because that's what kind of happened with me.
Beautiful. Awesome. Yeah. Could have said it better.
I mean, that might not have been a, yeah. I hope that was a positive note.
No, that was good. Believe me. Okay, that was good. Very, very well said.
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here, but we want you to plug any, Instagram, YouTube,
okay. Where can people find you?
Where can we find you?
Okay. So my Instagram is at
just popping.
Alisa Marie underscore Tarsa. So Alisa Marie underscore Tarsa.
Oh, it's not Alyssa? I'm totally kidding. Did you see the way she just looked at me?
No,
no, because everyone calls you Alyssa,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and Eliza.
Eliza. That's the one. I've heard that one
before. Yeah, they all call me that.
she almost got snapped the mic in half.
And then my YouTube, you could just look up my name, Alisa Marie Fitness.
Very nice.
All right.
Well,
awesome.
Can't thank you enough for coming.
Thanks for having me.
All righty, guys. See you again.
All right, guys. Woo. Thanks for listening.
I'm not fucking leaving!